The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't think many of us think deeply and philosophically about doors. That is until we actually need them. So you need a closed door, like in case of a storm. You need an open door to give access, like here this morning inside church. If you're exposed to attack, you need a closed door. If you are trapped, you need an open door. You need to keep this in mind when Jesus says that he is the door. Jesus says he's the door of the sheep, but he's not really talking about farm animals. He's talking about protecting from those who would seek, kill, and destroy the soul. Now, Jesus is also the door that grants access to salvation and pasture. But again, he's not talking about farmland. Jesus' pasture is like the pasture of the Old Testament, like Psalm 23, verse 1. The green pastures of safety and peace, of abundance and life. Jesus is the door that protects from death and stealers and grants access to God's kingdom and life in God's rule. Now you might ask, is there a literal door or a literal pasture? And who are these thieves? Well, just before this, in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man born blind. He lathers mud on his face and then tells him to go down to a pool called Siloam and wash his eyes out there. Well, Jesus doesn't follow the man down to the pool. So, when the man is healed, he doesn't know what Jesus looks like. Now, with such an amazing miracle, the Pharisees need to interrogate him to find out who healed him. Of course, since the man didn't see who Jesus was, all he could say was, "He's a prophet." And then he says, maybe the Pharisees should follow him too. The Pharisees do not like that whatsoever. And in fact, they tell the man that he is born in utter sin. And then he's cast out. Most likely meaning he's cast out of the synagogue and the temple and the people of God. So this man leaves their presence, walking around Jerusalem all by himself. And then that's when Jesus finds him and makes him a disciple. At that moment, that is when Jesus then turns and says, he is the door of the sheep. Today's gospel reading happens in front of this man born blind, and most likely by the Nicanor Gate of the temple. Now, the Nicanor Gate is a gate to the temple that opened up into the holy place. And inside the holy place is where God gave forgiveness and life through the temple sacrifices. And that gate had gatekeepers who kept some people out and let some people in. And the only people who could come in were clean Jewish men, ritually clean. Now, this context helps us understand Jesus' words in the gospel reading. Because Jesus, as the door, gives access to the holy place, to the presence of God. And that holy place is not in the temple, in a building, I should say, but is in the temple of his body. Jesus gives access now to all of his people, not just some. And they enter freely. They enter freely to the place where there is forgiveness of sins, there's life, salvation. They enter into the pasture of his body. Now, these thieves that Jesus described immediately in that context are the Pharisees who cast out the blind man from the presence of God. But see, the Pharisees use guilt and shame to do this. They use guilt and shame to lock him out of God's presence by saying that he was born in utter sin. Another way to say that is he's made of sin, which means he will forever be a sinner. Guilt and shame are this man's destiny. But Jesus is the door that protects the man from those people, those who would use guilt and shame to control. And Jesus is the door, then, that gives access to that man to the pasture. You see, Jesus went to find that man to lead him out of the guilt and shame and then into the freedom of life in his body, into the pasture where God sets everyone free and gives life in abundance. Now, many might have scars, spiritual scars, from spiritual shame. You know, from those who have used God to control lives, to take away life rather than give life. Like the Pharisees, these people teach, if you measure up, then God will love you. If you don't, then you're cast out. Now, people believe this lie, and they know that they're sinful. So then they start believing that God will never save them, and that they're unlovable. If you're one of those people, just look around today. You are here today, which means Jesus has found you and has drawn you into himself, into his presence, in his word and sacrament. So, but you might be like the blind man after receiving his sight when he didn't know who Jesus was. You might have experienced forgiveness and love. And that forgiveness and love has done something to you. And you know God has to be behind it. But you just don't know who exactly it is. And that experience has shown that you have life in you that needs to get out. Well, that love and that forgiveness and that life you've experienced is, in fact, Jesus. From Jesus himself. And Jesus is the door out of the old way of shame and into this new way where there is an abundance of life. This is why we read in Easter, Jesus died and rose again. That means there's more life in Jesus than there's death in the universe. And that Jesus has forgiven you all your sins, which means that there's more forgiveness in Jesus than all of your sins combined. That leads you out of death into an abundant life. Now, Jesus does this precisely through baptism. In the baptismal rite, we'll say, the Lord preserve your going in and your coming out from this time forth and forevermore. That language in the baptismal rite of going in and coming out is from John chapter 10. In baptism, Jesus sets you free to live in the presence of God. He's the door. Takes you out of the old way and into the presence of God. When you are baptized into Christ, you're brought into the pasture of his bodily life. And that life goes with you, which means then everything is pasture. Everywhere you go is abundant life, because the pasture is alive in you and you in it. This is why you actually came through the door today, whether you know it or not. Jesus forgives your sins this morning. He speaks his words of life, and then he gives you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Jesus' bodily life, the way he lives, is his pasture, and it goes with you. That means it goes out today with you. We don't live here inside the church because Christ is alive in you, and he's alive everywhere. That is the abundant life. The abundant life of Jesus goes with you and then changes everything. So that's why we have to get busy living the abundant life, where there is resurrection instead of death, where there is forgiveness instead of shame, where there is joy instead of fear. Now, if we were to continue reading in John chapter 10, we would find out that there's other sheep that need to enter the gate. And so that's our calling. Let's get busy living the abundant life, because there are other sheep that need to enter that door too. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.